Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all thought I was coming on last night, and I thought first it was yesterday during the day, and then I had something to do, so I couldn't come on, and then I scheduled for tonight, I think at 10:30, and then I had some stuff come up that I had to do, so I felt like 12:30 is the time, so if y'all see the description kind of messed up, I apologize if y'all was, like, listening, waiting for 10:30 to happen, and I kept y'all waiting. Man, please forgive me, okay? I am here late night. We're going to have a great discussion. I'm going to try to, I don't even want to say it, try to make it short. I'm going to try, y'all, okay, tonight. Okay, so a lot of y'all, let me just get right to it. Oh, first of all, how's my weekend been? Oh, my God, it's been really good trying to organize, get stuff together, you know, doing, you know, the clean, you know, when you're changing out winter clothes to spring clothes to more fall, wintery, you know, trying to do that, get my peace of mind going. These last few weeks have been a lot. Also, wait a minute, let me just tell y'all, I entered this contest, I don't know, child, I don't even know. But I love that it helps people, it helps breast care awareness. It is for Fab, it's a 5 over 40 contest. You know, it's something the magazine was advertising on Facebook. And I'll put it on the Carlotta Chatwood page so you guys can see it too. But this contest, like, if you come, go vote for me and stuff, it helps, it puts money towards breast cancer awareness. As you know, this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So if you go vote, in this contest, I'm trying to bring it up for you guys so I can tell you what it is, okay? Y'all know how I be slow, okay? Y'all got to give me a moment. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to look it up for y'all here. Okay. Okay, do I got it? I think I may have it. Okay. So it is, it's for New Beauty Magazine. You know, the winners will receive a 2-page beauty spread, plus you'll win $40,000. But it's about Fab Over 40. You guys can vote if you like. Vote for Keisha. It's Keisha Mahone Toombs. That's y'all know my name, right? But I, you know, y'all know me as Carlotta Chatwood, which is my middle name and my dad's name. But under there is Keisha Mahone Toombs. You'll see my face. You'll know if you like to vote. And it helps with the National Breast Cancer Foundation, okay? So definitely go and check that out, all right? So, man, I cannot wait to talk to you guys about, I'm waiting. So I'm going to talk to you guys about this journey that I have been on the last 3 to 4 weeks. It has not been easy for me, okay? So I'm not going to talk to you guys about it right now, but I will be discussing it next week. I may go live on my Facebook page, maybe, and also the Carlotta Chat with Facebook page, to talk to you guys about something that I've been going through that I'm wanting to talk with people, all of women especially, okay, about this. So I will discuss it with y'all. God bless. Next week. But y'all keep me in your prayers, okay? It's been a crazy last 3 to 4 weeks. I'm like, whoa. It's been a life-changing moment. It has been. And I'm like, wow. You know, this is what I've realized in the last few weeks, that trials come. You know what I'm saying? The Bible, my grandmother used to say, "It rain." What the Word of God say? They used to love saying, "It rain on the just and the unjust." Okay, so everybody gets some rain. And listen, it is been this rain. I feel is for growth. So I am, I consider myself blessed to have to go through it. Okay, so whether that sounds strange or not, we'll talk about it in next week. I think I'll share it with you guys as an audience, and it's important that I do so, okay? So we'll talk about it within the next week. I may do it earlier. Just depends on how everything's going, but I may have a special show and talk to you guys about it, but keep me in your prayers, okay? All right, so, child, y'all was upset about me talking about Haley Bailey. What's her name? Haley Bailey. And her little boy from DDG, and who else? Jada and them. Okay, listen, child. The reason I was so passionate about Haley Bailey, okay, is because I am just so passionate. I don't know DDG. He might be a great guy. From what we've been hearing out in these streets, I don't know. But what I'm just saying to young women, and now we're hearing, I'm going to talk about later on in the show, about we're hearing now that she's married, even though I know that, if the young man is not ready or something, it's going to be even crazier. But why I went so passionately hard for you young women is because you have a time and a space, and it's important. I mean, not that you can't do wonderful things as you gain age and get older, but your youth is so important, and how you use your time is important, and especially when you're being given gifts and talents. And I know that things happen. It's okay. But I'm just trying to prevent you young ladies from making unnecessary issues, okay? And Haley Bailey is making unnecessary issues if it's true out here. I wouldn't even be playing like that. I mean, even if she's not pregnant, I know people, some been saying, oh, is she really not pregnant? I'm like, why even have publicity games like that? Why even do that? They're just showing me that's crazy, too. But anyway, so that's one that I want to clear up, and I'll talk about that a little bit more on the show. Jada Pinkett Smith, y'all like, Jada, it's a trip. Carlotta, how can you be okay with Jada? Listen, I understand. It's not that I'm okay with Jada. And I don't think it's okay that it's not that Jada's okay with herself. I think Jada is letting you in somewhat, not all the way, but somewhat. For you guys who are really nitpicking her book, talking about the time, how she memorizes things, or, Tupac wasn't in that jail, he was in this jail, or she might be a week or two off or something like that. That's why it's called a memoir. Memoirs are not exact dates and times, because sometimes, too, I can't remember what half the ish I did in the 90s. So I'd be like, huh, what date was that? I don't know what date. I might say I was at Choo Choo Bear on my birthday when I was 20. And it might have been the next year, my 21st birthday. stuff merges together, and it's no, so it's so crazy that people are nitpicking. And I'm like, that's why it is called a memoir. She says in the beginning of her book, that's why people, it's important for people to get on phonics and be listening. Now you can listen to the audio books and stuff like that. She says in the beginning of her book, these are the events to my best recollection, what I can remember. That's what memoirs are. Okay, and I don't know why y'all don't think it's believable for Jada to have some, to know some of this. It tells me, like, a lot of y'all didn't realize her relationship with Tupac was, like, she had a, they had a deep friendship. So it's call her liar. Maybe, I don't know. If she is, I wouldn't know, because she did really know the dude. She did really hang out with the dude. And some of the stories y'all talking about, like her saying she drugged him, Jada been telling that story. So that's why I'm like, I'm not paying no attention, because it's like a lot of times people just want to have something to talk about. And I understand, because Jada is a great target. You know what I'm saying? She is a flawed human. Okay, so, you know, what I love about Jada is that she's open with those flaws. Most of us aren't open with a lot of our flaws, okay? And she's opening up with that, with the blessings of Will, because we're going to talk about that a little later on the show, with the blessings of Will and her children, okay? So, listen, there are a lot of people who are Jada Pinkett Smiths in the world, okay? And for Jada, this is her healing and her talking about, hey, this is my experience. This is what I'm going through. This is what I'm walking through in my life. It's not perfect. It's messy. It's ugly. It's gruesome. It's not all the way right. And I know today in the age of manosphere, and I'm not just a manosphere, but womanosphere, you know what I'm saying? Everybody trying to be the perfect Stepford person. Oh, you don't want to embarrass your husband. You don't want to do this. And you, but it, the thing is when you look deeply into people's lives and stuff, some people are better than others, some people are not. But you never know relationships until you looking from the outside. Some of the people you think are the most perfect couples, like we thought Will and Jada was, got a lot of shit going on, okay? So calm down. And, and it goes on in y'all house too, okay? It just ain't on fleek for everybody to see. Okay? I know my husband think I'm crazy, right? So that happens sometimes, you know what I'm saying? I'm not always perfect. Okay, and so it's just, you know, and he not either. I mean, people not either. It's just the world we live in. It is a, and what is so beautiful about it is when you've talked to people who have been married a long time, not all people, okay, some of y'all understand, ain't had no issues, but most of the time, even Ruby Dee and Ozzie Davis, if you read a little bit of Ruby Dee, they book, oh, my God, when she talks about how Ozzy wanted the relationship open and they opened it up, and for a while it was open until she started messing, using her thing to mess around and stuff like that. When the more long-term relationships are and you look into them, you find some messy-ish, okay? And you find that they done stayed together through some wild stuff. I mean, you know what I'm saying? And there are some people who, you know, they've been together. Like, we get ready to talk about Meryl Streep and her husband. Okay, 45 years married, and now she is separating from her husband after 45 years. Okay? Because you don't know what goes on in marriage. And you don't know why people got married. You don't know what the motives and all that stuff. That's what I'm just saying. So Jada and Will, you know, telling they T.R. like this, you know, they showing the average Hollywood-ish going on, because they got Hollywood, so it makes it even weirder. But the way some people can relate to not the Hollywood portion of it, because that puts an extra sprinkle in, extra pressure. Okay, and all kind of other crazy stuff. But to the sheer messiness of trying to come together, bring two people together and trying to see if it's going to work and shit or not. You know what I'm saying? I mean, even my grandparents would not mind me saying this. Even my grandparents, you know, when I got older, I mean, when I really started talking to them about like their marriage and stuff, I found out they was messy sometimes. Like they were separated at one time. I was like, what? My grandpa was like, oh yeah. I remember my papa said, yeah, you know. I was like, wow. So you find all kinds. Listen, let me tell y'all, it be all kind of stuff up in, especially the longer this stuff goes, the longer these marriages go. Okay, so that's what I want to say about Jada Pinkett Smith. We'll talk about her a little later on into the show, child, okay? Because, you know, because there's some stuff that came out, I think, this week about that and everything. All right, let me see, what else I want to talk about. It's always some chat I be having. You know, I don't have really a show tonight. I'm just be, you know, I'm just talking. but let's see. Let me see if I can get y'all. Okay. All right, so when I come back, y'all, we're going to get into, I want to start off, I don't know, you know, I don't know if I'm going to talk about some of the news that's out here. I may start off with some news, and then we'll talk about Taye Diggs' ex-wife and what she had to say this week about their marriage and why it possibly ended. I want to talk about the FDA considering a ban on hair straightener, okay? So that's going to be very interesting. All kind of stuff we're going to try to discuss tonight in Hot Topics. Meanwhile, y'all know how I do. We got to start off and get y'all get a little break here. And where are we going to go into the the break with? Let's see. Let's go into Treat Her Like a Lady, The Temptations. It's the CC Show. I'm Carlotta. I'm up. It's Late Night Hot Topics. I'll be back in a moment.
Treat her like a lady.
We gotta let this one breathe, y'all. Just let it breathe for a second.
Just wait. Taking me beyond the planet and the stars. You're the only one that could take me this far. I'll be forever searching for your love.
Trap in the hood, you do worse for less, homie, earth protect. Only God can judge me, my heart ain't ugly, but the thoughts that I drop is heavy. Try budge me, mama love me, pop left me. Still the homies call me lucky lefty. I'm flashy and deadly, deceptively smart. I make hustling heaven and pimping the art. Long as I know that I'm blessed and I love in death, I can walk through water and not get wet. I'm that fish.
That is Lenny Kravitz, a little help from Jay-Z with Storm. That is one of my favorite Lenny Kravitz songs. I think produced by Just Blaze. I think one time I thought it was produced by For Real for a longest, but it wasn't. I think it's Just Blaze. But, oh, my God, I love that song. Have y'all seen Lenny Kravitz, the new, like, video? Lord have mercy. Oh, my God. What is up with me and Gemini's? Oh, my God. Hey, that man. Woo. Woo-woo. I'm like, how old is he? He is beautiful. Woof. Lord, that little video thing he been shooting, that's hot. Oh, Lord have mercy. Lord. Okay. I was like, oh. Oh, it's it. I mean, y'all got to see it. I don't know if it's a new video or something, but it just happened. I was scrolling my timeline one day, and I saw Lenny, like, laying in a bed, like, half naked, like, kind of like the sheet kind of half. I was like, oh, my God. Oh, Jesus. That is a fine man. That's all I got to say, okay? That is a fine man, all right? It's the CC Show. We are back. I am doing late night hot topics. Child, let's talk about it. Thousands of protesters demanding eradication of Israel clash with New York police. Demanding eradication of Israel clash with New York Police Department has rallied delves into chaos. This is today, and I think it's in New York. Thousands of anti-Israel protesters clashed with police Saturday night after they refused to vacate the Bay Ridge Street they had flooded for hours. Okay, oh my God, this is crazy. Oh, something gonna pop off. Now, y'all just keep the prayers going on, okay? But since officers began plucking individuals out of the massive flood, as well as from the inside of one pickup truck carrying ralliers of the Palestinian flag waving horde in an effort to quell the out-of-control rally. It got pretty heated, a law enforcement source told the Post, okay? Now, we are moving into Scorpio season, okay? Hey, what's up, y'all? Scorpio's in the house. Right, but Scorpio season can be a signature for protests because Scorpios are known for speaking up, speaking out. Colin Kaepernick, right? Also, dark times Scorpios can bring are transformative times. The Middle East. I was listening to an astrologer a few days ago, and it was talking about how the Middle East in astrology is ruled by Scorpio, okay? So all the dark forces, dark wars, it's just very interesting, okay? So as we move into Scorpio season, we're seeing a lot of transformation, upheaval. We have a Scorpio in the White House, right? Scorpio cusping Sagittarius, probably crazy as hell. But, you know, yeah, it's a lot going on. A Scorpio with a Libra as a VP. Mm-hmm. A lot, okay? So very interesting. But it says it got pretty heated, law enforcement told the Post, okay? It says a young teenager was seen trying to hold an older woman carrying a Zionism and genocide sign who was being yanked by two officers. Some rioters lobbed eggs and a swarming cop. Protesters continued shouting in the streets as well as chanting over small barbecue fires they set up in the road. Now, this would have been black people out there protesting. For shit we've been going through for hundreds of years in America, it would have been chaos. It would have been crazy. Like, they wouldn't have plucked us. They would be beaten and doing all kinds of, but, you know, I digress. But it says New York PD confirmed that approximately 24 people were taken into custody during the chaos, but it was unclear whether those detained by police were formally arrested by or issued summons. The overwhelming demonstration kicked off hours earlier in one of the largest Arab Middle Eastern communities in New York City. We are calling for full liberation of all Palestine, to every single inch from the river to the sea, shouted one protester, repeating a refrain used by Hamas terrorists and their anti-Israel backers. Ooh. We are not like other groups simply calling for a ceasefire, added the woman wearing a T-shirt of one of the event organizers, the radical leftist group within our lifetime. We are calling not simply for an end to genocide. We are calling for an end to the siege and an end to the blockade and an end to occupation. Very interesting, okay? Listen, it's a lot going on over there, okay? But they're saying, you know, I'm a person that believes that the Middle East and these times like this marks the end times. You know, I used to go to a church in Kansas City where I feel like he was one of the best pastors, best theologians of the 20th century was this man named George Westlake. Pastor George Westlake is still alive. He's retired, but he still comes on YouTube and he does his, he's on YouTube too, but he does also comes on Facebook and he does Wednesday nights. He answers questions about the end times and Bible times, if you believe in that. This man is so powerful. He was my pastor for many years. He gives such education, great education about if you believe in the end time theories. Like, you know, people always say, when was the beginning of the end times? And I always talk about looking to 1948 when Israel became a state. Those are the first signs of the end times. Even the Bible starts predicts a lot of things about the end times. So it is very interesting how we see all of these things coming to pass at this time in America. And meanwhile, we've got so many crazy things going on, too, with immigration, illegal immigration, craziness all across the country. Even in the Bible, it says in the last days, ethnos would rise against ethnos, meaning ethnicity against ethnicity. It would be crazy and stuff. And I feel like this is because my personal opinion is the powers that be, the influencers, are setting up situations like this. You know, I always talk about, and this, please, I hope nobody gets offended by this, and I hope Jewish people don't get offended or anything, but I always say that, to me, behind the Holocaust were, if you look into the Holocaust, there was a number of people that set the course for something like that to happen. if you look at the state of Germany, I've talked about this before on a previous show, the state of Germany during, before the Holocaust, what was happening with Germans starving, Germans not getting enough things, the Treaty of Westphalia, I forget the name of it, start with a V, but that treaty and how it hurt the Germans. Then you see an influx of immigrants, maybe some Jews and stuff doing well, how that all feeds a narrative. How that has, it's just like Americans. When you see Americans, not just to compare the Holocaust to that, but I'm just saying these powers that are above who are orchestrating political events and political situations and stuff set the tone for countries and people to become what they become. You know, of course, it was setting Germany up for a Hitler. And I always tell people, Hitler didn't come in not saying things that weren't, he contracted, oh God, and I don't want people to, because people hate Hitler so much, and I understand he was a monster. But Hitler came in making points that were happening to the Germans. He was able to seduce them because of what was going on in Germany, right? And so he was able to seduce them to keep and point them towards the wrong group of people to be angry at instead of being angry at the powers that be. And it's the same thing to me. Not the same thing. I'm not saying that. Not the same thing. But what I'm saying is today in America, when we see an influx of immigrants and illegal immigration, and you got Americans who are struggling to have ends meet and, I mean, put food on the table, and you got people breaking the law, crossing the border, they know they're doing it. The government and powers know they're doing it. They're not doing anything about it. Americans are seeing them getting housing, food, shelter, when Americans are struggling to pay bills and finances and stuff like that. And you're, meanwhile, taking in huge fluxes of immigrants. It sets the stage for people to become angry. For people to start saying, what the heck, we're citizens, or what does our citizenship mean anything anymore? And you set, and these powers that be know that, okay? Because I believe what they believe that there is order out of chaos. They believe they can be the saviors. They could create the chaos and then come to give the chaos some order, as they're like they're the saviors. So I think that sometimes we don't see the power structures behind and the political influencers behind these events, okay? And our anger and attention gets misdirected to maybe illegal immigrants. And no, yes, they are breaking the law, and they should be sent back for breaking the law. However, we don't look at the power structure and our attention to that structure and our ability to check that that political sphere so that they won't be influenced by powers beyond. If people are paying attention, it's hard to commit tyranny. It's hard to come against people, okay? But it's because most Americans are in such a defunct state, and they know that, that they don't, they're not very astute politically. And so they don't know how to fight these powers and stuff like that, okay? And the same thing that goes for me, to me seeing the situation in New York City with Palestinians arguing about the freedom of Palestine, just all, so much stuff going on, Israel people upset about that, all kinds of things. There is a political atmosphere that is setting all of that energy up, okay? So I wouldn't be surprised if this year we have some craziness happen surrounding and just in the new United States, period, okay? This is my personal opinion, okay? Let's see, what else you got? Let's see here, what else I want to talk to y'all about? Okay, now this was interesting. Michael Irvin has been talking about his son, who is a rapper, and some people have been like, I'm drinking and talking to y'all. Some people have been like, you know, Michael Irvin shouldn't embarrass his son and everything like that. But a lot of people have been saying, no, this is a good thing. It's good what Michael Irvin is doing, okay? So, but Michael Irvin is calling out his son for his he's been going around and he's been doing raps like he's from the streets and stuff like that. So, but here it says former Cowboys player, and this is from Hollywood Unlocked. It says Michael Irvin calls rapper son a poser. Says you grew up in a gated community your whole life. Okay, yikes. Former Dallas Cowboys player Michael Irvin is exposing his rapper son and calling him a poser. He also reminded him about his upbringing and said you grew up in a gated community your whole life. On the latest episode of Skip Bayless FS1 show, Undisputed, Dallas Cowboy legend and Hall of Fame receiver Michael Irvin speaking with Bayless about controversy NBA player Ja Morant, who has seemingly been wasting away his talent by getting into back-to-back legal trouble with guns and slapping the faces of those who have believed and supported him, has he made his way to the NBA, okay? While offering thoughts around, Irvin made a comparison to his own son, whose birth name is Elijah, but raps under the moniker Tarantino. According to Irvin, his rapper son raps about a life he isn't quite lived, so he called him out and reminded him exactly who he grew up his entire childhood in a gated community. let's see, do we have this up there? Do we have the same clip? I think I got it. Michael Irvin talking about his son. Okay, let's see. Let's listen. Take a listen, y'all.
It's hard to say, man, I appreciate all the work and all the things that you've done. But we've had nothing and you've helped. But I got to continue to move and go forward and try to do things the right way. And sometimes that means you don't got to cut people off, but you got to distance yourself a little bit. You can't be with people all the time and running around. I got a son. He raps. His rap name is Tut Tarantino. If you ever listen to some of his raps, I'm like, oh, my God. Where did this come from, son? You grew up in a gated community your whole life, but he's rapping my life because we romanticize and fantasize about that old thug life, ghetto life, and all of that stuff. When we used to work to get away from it, now we've gotten to a place somehow we're running back towards in the music. And sometimes some of the people that have helped you, freaking everything. You know, in the days I was coming up, all of those guys that you see, the John Morant, hanging around, those guys were still around us, Key. But it was, they were like, get out of here. Stop doing this. You got a chance to make it out of here the right way. So those guys would try to tell you to stop being in the neighborhood. Stop hanging out. Go do what you have to do. It's not like that now. The guys are more hanging on and want to go with guys, and you're tearing up careers.
Okay, so that was pretty very open that Michael Irvin did and calling that his son. this is what I will say on this note, because some people are saying, you shouldn't have did that, and some people saying, yes, he should have, and all this stuff. I don't know. What I will say is this, okay? I hear a lot of parents talk like this, too, have black parents especially, who grew up in the crack era. And whose kids have an affinity for ghetto life, and they don't know nothing about the hood or the ghetto. I even had my little family, my little family members who definitely is suburban, nothing but white people hanging around, and they was up there rapping hood songs. I was like, what? You don't know nothing about the hood. What are you doing? Right? But here's what I think. Because a lot of these parents, when you talk to them, they always be saying, you know, and I tried my best to raise them, you know, so they wouldn't have to deal with that. You know what I'm saying? They wouldn't have to deal with that lifestyle and that hood. And while I respect that and I get it, the kids today that y'all raising, not all of them, but a lot of them, are so, they see, they weak. And I don't think it's the hood they're trying to get from you guys. I think what they're trying to get is a sense of a lot of black people, a lot of black elites raised their children when they came out of the hood and stuff, in gated communities and everything, and they didn't really talk to them. Or it used to be so, like, if you had, back in the day in the 70s and 80s, if you had cousins that lived in the suburbs, and Blackish did a good show on this one Halloween, if you had cousins that lived in the suburbs and stuff like that who were more whitewashed, they would come to the hood and they would know they knew how to navigate the hood, they knew how to navigate the suburbs because the cousins in the hood would help them navigate hood. So even though the cousins would be softer in the, you know what I'm saying, in the suburbs, right? I think what's going on is that the kids are growing up in suburbs, the suburbs, a lot of black children, having the dream of their parents having everything they've ever wanted. They've got iPads, iPhones, TVs, all kind of gadgets, things, and stuff like that. But I believe when they hear you talk and they see you, they feel like they're missing the strength that those neighborhoods help develop in you. And a lot of times what happened was when parents get in suburbia, they tend to throw all the stuff at them. Let me just give them good. I'm trying to give them a good life. I'm trying to give them a good life. But you fail to give them the strength, too, the street smarts and all those things that you learned. It's more like there's an avoidance. I'm not saying all parents, but a lot of parents. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of things, those kids are admiring your toughness, your grit. It's just like Serena, and I remember listening to Serena and Serena talking about, they were asking her about, you know, all the stuff that was going on, especially with Naomi Osaka, when she was talking about, you know, the press situation and all that. And, you know, Serena was like, yeah, you know, I understand, you know, but, you know, we had a little bit more of a cheap, I forget what the word she was saying, I don't want to quote her, but she was basically kind of saying we had a little bit much tougher exterior. Because of art, the way we grew up, you know, them two was playing tennis in the middle of the hood. Gunshots swirling all around their head. You know what I'm saying? Thugs and gangsters in the park or whatever. So it's a little different. They're more equipped to deal with the hardcore-ish, right? And so I don't think it's that kids, a lot of times, like, for instance, Michael Irvin's son, might be admiring the street life. I think what they admire and what they try to emulate, and they think they've missed, they've had a misunderstanding from where that strength comes from. They think it comes from talking about, you know, being gangsters or thugs and stuff like that, but that strength isn't developed that way. That strength was developed in those neighborhoods, living in those neighborhoods, getting, like he said, going past the obstacles that were in your way. And I think a lot of kids don't understand that. And especially today, you know, when we see in the rap world, you know what I'm saying, we see a lot of people who have made it, who was like former drug dealers and all that stuff. And kids get to thinking that's where the strength is, that's where the toughness. But actually, back in those days, I'm gonna be honest with you, the weakest ones in the hood was drug dealers in the hood, because they was doing weak shit. They was following, they was trying to be liked and be a part of the crowd. But it was that kid who every day was going past all that stuff, kids who had street smarts and stuff, but still wasn't trying to participate. That's where the strength was. And a lot of kids' parents who have made it and stuff, they grew up with that strength in them, and the kids is thinking, wow, you know, when they hear your hood tales, they like, why don't I got that strength? Like, it's hard. I've been sheltered. I've been given everything. And I think parents are missing it. I think it's the not giving everything. teaching how to earn, teaching street smarts, because you still got to have street smarts navigating the suburbs, okay? Trust me, because, you know, like rich kids party, I used to go to back in the day. I knew how the house parties work and the wealthy little white kid. And the rich white kid still has more shit than we did, okay? So it going on in their parties and stuff. So sometimes you have to give your kids a different sense of strength. Like you think you protecting them from who? Oh, at least they ain't in the shootouts no more. At least they ain't in this and that. And we ain't in this. The hood, all the things that the hood brings. You know what I'm saying? But people fail to understand that the suburbs present their own things, obstacles that kids have to get over. Okay. So I feel like, I hope I'm making y'all understand what I'm thinking. That's why I'm thinking that kids like Michael Irvin's son feel the need, they identify with these street figures, because you really haven't helped them to develop strength in some ways. I'm not saying that's what's going on with Michael Irvin, but sometimes I think that's what's going on with a lot of parents, especially black parents, because they're trying to give them everything they didn't have, except instead of developing in them a sense of toughness to navigate wherever they are, a sense of values and character. And they think because they get in the suburb, they're suddenly, you know what, I don't have to hard parent like my mama. You know what I'm saying? Because my, you know, where you had the hard parents in the hood and stuff like that, I don't have, this is the gated community. I ain't got, but gated community have a lot. Have you been to a white kid's party, a rich kid's party in them gated communities? They have some of them, not all of them, have drugs, every drug known to man, every alcoholic beverage known to man, every kind of shit you can get into known to man, okay? So there's a different kind of sense of toughness you have to give them. Not good toughness, but it's still a street knowledge, it's still street toughness. And what happens is a lot of black people tend to be like the movie Good Fences. If you ever, please, go watch Good Fences when they get in the suburbs, okay? They tend to think it's easier, and it's not. And your kids are missing. They're seeing that grit and strength you had, you developed in your name, and they want that. They admire that. And they'd rather have that than all the shit, instead of all the shit you giving them. That's why you got a son who grew up in a gated community, but he out here trying to act like he a thug because he thinking, where do I get that strength? Where do I get the street smart like my dad had? Where do I get this and that and this and that? And what's happened is a lot of parents have thinking suburbs, I don't have to pass on the same strength. I don't have to teach them how to navigate. You kind of leave them out there to fend for themselves and give them a lot of things instead of building up into them that strength and character. And I hope y'all get what I'm saying. I'm not saying every black parent in the suburb. I'm saying a lot of times that's what I'm hearing from black parents who grew up in hoods when they bring their kids to the suburbs or wealthy communities and they've made it and stuff like that. They tend to not parent as toughly. You know what I'm saying? Because they think, oh, we're in the safe valley. But you're not. That's a different kind of ghetto. The world is a ghetto. But that's a new kind of ghetto, okay? And so you have to give your kids, the strength portion of it doesn't stop. It isn't just throwing things that you never had at your kids. It's still saying, I'm going to pass you on down the strength I got, right? You may not have to run from no gunshots in the hood or gangs in the hood, but you got your own set of pressures in the suburbs. You might have to deal with racist chatter. You may have to deal with somebody not liking how your hair or making you feel bad about the color of your skin. Or you may have to navigate through where you can go to parties and have any kind of cocktail and drugs and stuff you want. And you got to navigate through, hey, being tough and saying no. You get what I'm saying? Okay, it's a different kind of toughness. And I think a lot of black parents have not thought about that. And they look up one day and they realize, these kids are soft. What's going on here? By the time I was 13, I was staying, I was the last kid. I was staying at home with my can be working all night. You know what I'm saying? And the kids is listening to you, and they're like, well, I got my own set of ish to deal with here. But you think it's easier. You think it's an easier thing, and you're not parenting. You're not tailoring your parenting. I still need the same strength you have, but it's a different vibration. You get what I'm saying? I hope y'all get what I'm saying. But that's why I think kids from the suburbs tend to emulate hood things, because in a sense, I really actually believe, especially the 70s and 80s, parenting was more intimate. I mean, I remember, you know, 70s, 80s growing up, my grandparents, great-grandparents, it was like a village, you know what I'm saying? Not that it wasn't easy, but people in the hoods knew each other. They talked to each other, even though it wasn't the best life. See, this is what we didn't understand. We were so busy. Yeah, people wanted to get out, but we also didn't think about the beauty of what we were getting. The beauty of growing up in rough places. A lot of times, you know, or the beauty of understanding gangster culture, understanding where that comes from, understanding how people ruin their lives, understanding seeing things up close and getting, but at the same time, there was lots of love in those hoods, you know what I'm saying? You know, I remember in the 80s and stuff, you know, you was fast little girl, shoot, they be like, calm down, little girl, you know what I'm saying? You pretty little girl, you need to calm all that. You know, they let you know, them gangsters and thugs and stuff. You know what I'm saying? You know, the protections that went on. I think that we so busy looking at the bad that a lot of people that grew up in those times don't see the beauty of those places too, in hoods all across the country. You know, the beauty of connection. That yes, it may have been poverty. It may have been chaos that comes from poverty and all those things that are born out of not having enough. But there also was a sense of community that people tend to not have in suburbia, right? There was a sense of community in the hood, like people knowing your mom and your dad. Hey, I know your blah, blah, blah. It was a different thing, okay? So I think when you describe that to your children, they like, well, what's that? Like, what was that like? Like, when you talk about growing up on Soul Train and sitting with your, they like, man. You know, because they're like, well, we ain't got nothing like that. So sometimes I think you've moved on up like the Jeffersons. But in a sense, you may have lost a sense of community, or a sense giving kids a survival skill and a survival set, no matter where they're at. I hope I'm making sense, okay? So that's all I want to say about that, because I thought that was very interesting. I thought, I think that happens a lot. And while I understand what he's doing with his son, I also think sometimes that the parents have to see, you know, what's going on too, okay? Okay, so child, Britney Spears out in these streets. Now, let me just say this, okay? This is Carlotta 101 theory, okay? Britney Spears is coming out with a book. And this is from Hollywood Unlocked. It says, as Britney Spears, HollywoodUnlocked.com. It says, as Britney Spears follows in Jada Pinkett Smith's footsteps by dropping a new memoir, we are seeing the toxic singer come clean after claiming for years that Justin Timberlake took her virginity. We previously reported that Spears is gearing up for the October 24th release of new memoir called The Woman in Me, where she is telling all from her controversial conservatorship to her rocky relationships. She's taking back control over her life. She talked about that she was pregnant by Justin, and he didn't want the baby, and what that did allegedly, or whatever. She had to get up. She got an abortion and all this stuff. So she's telling a lot of her her business. However, this is very interesting. I'm hearing that she, the rumors is that she's not doing any press. Now, when I hear stuff like that, I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't believe she wrote it. I don't believe she writing too much a damn thing in this book. She might be telling somebody what to write. You know what I'm saying? But if she can't do press like Jada, I'm suspicious, because I was suspicious of the Free Britney Spears movement. I was suspicious of the of people coming against her father, her family, everything. Because listen, I've been looking at her since. I were those years when she was under her daddy. You didn't see her doing none of this shit. You didn't see her dancing in front of the screen, acting crazy. Sometimes looking like she don't know where she had, having the crazy divorces and all that stuff. So to me, sometimes I do believe the music industry can kind of be a crazy place, and you could have powers that be that's after catalogs and shit. And I think they about to rob her little ass blind. Okay, they Free Britney Spears movement, in my personal opinion, was a bunch of BS. That's just my conspiracy theory. Set up the powers that want her shit and want to take advantage of her, okay? And got the people in her life. Maybe her daddy and them, where Joe wasn't perfect either. But in the end, when Michael Jackson couldn't do them 50 shows, he was up there, Joseph, he called Joseph, how you do the 50 shows, allegedly. And Joe bought the promoter, I forget that man's name, they try to talk to, what's some people, AEG or whatever, and he was calling his daddy that he claimed was destructive, abusive, and all this stuff. In the end, he's like, Joe, please come help me. I can't do this. Okay. And so, listen, that's why I don't buy the stories about daddies. Yeah, daddies might be tough. They might be hard. It might be, but I noticed her ass was in more control when her daddy was running. Her daddy was over there. I don't care what y'all say. Okay, it looked like to me there was more checkmate going on when her daddy was in control. Okay. I said what I said. And if she ain't out here doing no press, then I'm going to assume that she's not mentally up to par to do so. And then I'm going to question, who's this book really from? I said what I said. Okay. I said what I said. She needs to do some interviews. That's what I'm hearing in the street, that they saying, she's not doing, and I would love to hear her talk about it. If she wants to prove that she's well and she shouldn't have been under that conservatorship, then she needs to be out here talking about it. But if she can't string sentences together and all that, then her daddy probably, like I said, time will reveal, and her daddy probably was a great conservatorship for her. He might have been a little strict. He might have, should have been a little better. Maybe he was scheming some money out. I don't know. But what I will say, okay, is that it seemed like it was a little bit more in check. And Michael was doing the same thing, allegedly, back in the day. Mike, that's career of Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson, Joseph, I was singing Me and the Rats, Rats singing the Rat Den, and all this stuff. Joseph was, they talked about Joseph like, but in the end, okay, he was calling Joseph. We got a right. Wait a minute. Hold on. Let me see if I got a article. Let me see. See if we got that. If we got that. Let's see. Okay, I think it was here where Joseph started advocating for him. I'm trying to look at this. Joseph Jackson says Michael was not well enough for London shows. MJ's father and AEG live trade barbs and press over O2 Arena concerts. This was from MTV.com. This was in 2009. If everything had gone according to plan, Michael Jackson would have kicked off his This Is It concert, a spectacular career reviving series of greatest hit shows at O2 Arena in London on Monday. Instead, Jackson's family and concert promoter AEG Live are trading barbs in the press over whether the 50-year-old King of Pop was even healthy enough to perform any of the scheduled shows, to say nothing of 50. The comeback tour was a good idea, but the wrong idea, about it. Family patriarch Joseph Jackson said in the interview with ABC's News, Michael told me himself that he agreed to 10 shows, but they went and added all these other shows. I was worried about his health, Joe added. No artist can do those many shows back-to-back like that. And so I knew Michael couldn't do all those shows without some respite in between. Michael's father and sister, LaToya, have proclaimed in recent interviews they believe the singer might have been a victim of foul play. Okay. He said he believed it was foul play. Let me see. Okay, another Jackson family associate, former financial advisor Leonard Rowe, who is not related to the Jackson ex-wife Debbie Rowe. So Good Morning America, even though the singer appeared full of energy in a brief rehearsal clip released by AEG following the Jackson's death, the star was not well and physically unprepared for the grueling concerts, okay? There was also an article where it says Michael called Joseph and asked him to come and help him. Okay. Now, all that shit talking about Joseph, in the end, he got, Joseph. Okay. Leonard Rowe, the rumors was that Leonard Rowe and Joseph went to AEG, sat in a meeting, allegedly, and tried to tell him, hey, this boy, he can't do these shows. And people started icing Joseph out, okay? Because when people see you as a money horse, and Michael had been eliminated because he was pissed at his family anyway. See, that's a weakness. They know you pissed. They know you don't like your family. If you got to listen, let me tell you this. Let me just say this to the entertainers out there, okay? No, let me tell you this, okay? And I know you can have some. Listen, I'm a person that understand you can have some fucked up family, okay? I ain't against you have some messed up family members, okay? I ain't saying go get your messed up family members, okay? That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying have some people around you that you love and trust that are like your family. But be careful talking ish about your family. Okay? You know what I'm saying? Because these people will use that against you. And I really believe that's what happened in Michael Jackson's case. Michael Jackson, in my personal opinion, spent so many years dogging Joseph's ass out, and it wasn't, and it doesn't mean that Joseph wasn't tough, he wasn't hard. That's the era Joseph comes from. Them black men in those eras was different. Okay? It was different. Okay, he built up a little super family, super musical family. Okay, but he probably wasn't well liked the things that he had to do and say in order to develop the family, and maybe sometimes he didn't do always the right thing. Okay. But in the end, now, see, this is the same thing with Britney Spears. Britney Spears, I want freedom. But do you have freedom, girl? Or is it another taskmaster over you now that your daddy ain't? See, listen, let me tell you something. Your family ain't always right, but you know if your family, I got to say, Beyonce. Okay, listen here, okay? No. I always say they always come back, Daddy. Matthew, they come back. But she going to do that Destiny Child tour. She going to walk back to you. And it don't matter. I don't care. You know, Joseph, I mean, listen, a lot of these men wasn't right, okay? I'm not saying they was, but that's how they built. If it was not for Joseph, there would be no the Jacksons. And if it show in the hell wasn't for Matthew, it would be no Beyonce. I said what I said. I mean, if it wasn't for Beyonce, let's say if it wasn't for Matthew, there'd be no Beyonce. Was Matthew good to in the shit handling fame and stuff? Did he do some wild shit? Yeah. Did he do some shit that wasn't no good? Yeah. But who you think you could trust more, your daddy or Live Nation? Let me child, let me go. Let me stop. Okay. Life shows some shit, okay? That's all I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? Who's really the monsters out here, okay? So they these monsters will notice yo family weaknesses and shit and will drive wedges in between so they can come up in them wedges. And in the end, they work you like a workhorse. Okay? And you know, I need my dad. Beyonce better be glad she got through these Renaissance tours, because she might have been calling, Matthew, I can't make it. You know, we don't know what the shit was going on, okay? But I'm just saying, because at first she was looking like her ass didn't look really alive until she got to Kansas City to the end of the show. She's like, shit, this is the end. She woke her ass up. But I'm just saying, what if they put on you, you need to do another, after this, you need to do another 100 city tour for the next album. And you like, she like, I can't do it. DC might call. Probably Matthew. People say, well, what about Jay-Z? In the end, I'm telling you, be daddy. Okay. That's why all the daddies that y'all complain about, okay, these celebrities complain about. I'm not saying the daddies ain't shit dudes, but I'm saying that they do care for their kids. They did create these products, which their kids happen to be, they're humans, but they happen to also be a product to society, right? So, it, you know, I say the same thing with Britney Spears. Britney Spears, in the end, I mean, you're going to probably understand, you might going to wish your daddy was still there. And I noticed her daddy been quiet. Let me tell you something. That says another thing, too. Her daddy ain't said nothing. He like, all right, I'm going to let y'all do what y'all do to me. I'm going to let y'all treat me like I ain't did. I ain't been right to my child. I'm going to let y'all act like, say stuff about me and my family. Yes, we probably ain't being perfect, but I ain't saying nothing. I ain't going to try to take up for myself. I ain't going to try to do nothing. And they say he kind of sick right now, too. Girl, you better be careful, because that might be your biggest advocate. Okay, when he gone, they probably really act a fool, okay? So that's what I'm just trying to say, okay? We got to, sometimes, yeah, y'all got to peep game around here, okay? And it just looked like she, this is, I'm just saying, it just happened to be looking, I could be all the way wrong, but to me, it looks wilder, what's going on, now with her than it was when her daddy had, okay? Okay, what is it? I'm not going to, we got to talk about DDG. And listen, it's so hard when you're young and you trying to have relationships with other people who trying to be celebrities, and oh Jesus, I mean, oh Lord. And a lot of y'all be saying, talking about people bitter because people are warning her, because this is a person who did write a song about her. This is a person, allegedly he wrote a song talking about a famous bitch. And see, even putting that out, even if you were just talking about another experience, even putting that out with her running around here is still problematic. It's problematic to her image and to her product. It's like there has to be some understanding. You know, when you have a career, and let me just say these to you young ladies out there, okay? Young men, too. When you have a career and it is extremely important to you and you are dating someone and you say, hey, you know, I understand. It's kind of like what people are saying about Jada Pinkett and Will, which I'm going to get to in a minute, okay? But Will and Jada got so much money now, they can say whatever the hell they want to say. But I'm saying Jada's held herself. It's been, Will is established 20 times over, okay? But so now's a good time to write memoirs, where she's been quiet for many years, okay? Kind of been the glamour wife or whatever. It's just the last 10 years has been kind of wild. When you're starting off, you're young in your career, and you're young in your relationships, always pick somebody, try to pick somebody that is as serious about where they're going as you are. Somebody who can uplift you, tell you the truth, not lie to you, don't, because just because somebody tell you the truth don't mean that they're being, they're being mean towards you and stuff like that. Sometimes it's just people trying to help you. I always have somebody that's honest with you, tells you the truth, but most of all values what you do and values you. If they don't value your career, value you as a person, which you as a person makes you a part, that's all a part of your career, and value how they show up in the world being with you, because you know you're a very public, you're a persona. And, you know, you say, hey, I know this is tough, but, yo, you can't be trolling fans and stuff, talking about you a rich bum. You can't be, because what you speak, words are powerful, right? Right? What you speak and what you write. And he's young and he ain't got no sense, common sense. See, as a woman, that starts telling you some things. You got to see, hey, are you here to sabotage me? No matter how much they saying, oh, I love you and our baby, you know, this and that, and the sex is good, whatever it is. Are you sabotaging me in my life and my purpose and where I'm going? Are you fitting that? If you are not, then you need to move the hell out of the way. So that's what I say with situations like Hailey Bailey. Okay? This looks like to me, I said it before, this looks like a situation. Now they're saying she married the guy, and there was a rumor that Glamour magazine leaked an article that saying that they may be married. And you know, okay, that's good. So that's good. And the reason we talk about Hailey Bailey so much is because it's not just Hailey Bailey's in entertainment. There's Hailey Bailey's in college. There's Hailey Bailey's all around. And not so much we care about her in DDG, but we're saying this because we're trying to help you young girls recognize when somebody, and the young man might not even realize that he's sabotaging her shit. You know what I'm saying? He might think, I'm just acting being myself. I'm just doing why your fans can't say. And it may be just a sense of you're mismatched. Maybe it's a sense of, hey, guy, you can't handle. What is your goal? Is your goal to be, you have to decide what your goal is to be. You know what I'm saying? When you get involved in relationships, who you are as a person, a woman, is very important. Okay? When you're young, developing, who you are as a person and what you want. Maybe Hailey Bailey want to be DDG's wife, and that's it. Maybe she's done with the entertainment business. I'm like, cool, go and be his wife, do whatever you got to do. If that's what she don't really want it no more. Okay, and I can respect that. Then move out the way so these other little girls can get at it. You know what I'm saying? But for you young women who are trying to have careers and things like that very early in your career, pay attention to how that person values you and values the thing and the purpose you are put here for and the thing you do. And if they don't value that, same thing, young men, if you a basketball star and I'm going to use that as an example, okay? You a basketball star, you dating somebody, and you got to be at practice every day at 5 o'clock. Now, you got a girlfriend, you like, hey, babe, every day at 5 o'clock from 5 to 7, I can't talk to you, straight basketball, right? I'll talk to you at 7:45 or 8 o'clock. But she's up there every day at 4:45 talking about, F you and your basketball practice. Why you can't spend no time with me? Why is it always about basketball? And you had already told her because you got a mission and a goal. I want to go to college. I want to play college basketball. I want to go to the NBA or whatever. And you have to set yourself discipline. But she keep screwing up your discipline-ish. See, you got a question. You got to say, even no matter how much passionate and how much you like each other, you got a question, is this chick the chick for me? Because she's sabotaging me right now with one of the most important things I want to do. And if you haven't talked to that person and helped them understand, hey, I'm trying to be a baller. I'm trying to be this and this and that. And they continue to sabotage you and they continue to drain you, then you need to question that thing. Okay? Or they don't care anything about you. Like you might be saying, hey, right now I'm going to use a condom when we have sex. So let's just say, for instance, because I can't afford kids. And they're like, no, I don't want to come. You know what I'm saying? Or the man is saying, for you trying to sabotage you, you got to ask whether they value the same things you value. That's all I'm saying. I'm telling y'all wild scenarios because this is a scenario people, young kids, we find themselves in. And sometimes don't know how to make the decisions or the right decisions. And it starts early in your life. You have to make these powerful decisions about love and relationship. And trust me, you'll make them the rest of your life. But you have to be able to make these decisions about, you know, who, what is best for me? You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to take a break. I wanted to say that because a lot of people was going off about the Hailey Bailey DDG thing. That's where I was more concerned, okay? Because everything, it's not her particularly, but it's that so many young girls are in these situations in other ways, okay? Like if you were going to school and you got a little boyfriend that's always coming around or same thing with a guy. You got a little girlfriend that's always disturbing your study time. And when you're in Torah, hey, babe, I'm trying to stay in here at Mo House. You know, I'm trying to stay at Florida State. I got to study. And she always coming up there and messing. Are you a distraction? Are you here to help me? You know what I'm saying? So we'll get back. We'll get all that. I will talk more when we get back about more stuff. And I'm going to Jada Pinkett and Will when I get back so I can answer that for y'all, too, because y'all was saying stuff. Y'all was mad at me about that. Okay, so we'll talk about that a little bit more. But I wanted to get that Hailey Bailey and my deeper thoughts about that out of the way. Okay, so you guys, let's listen to a little bit of Maxwell Off. It's the CC Show. I'm Carlotta. It's late night. I'll be back in a moment.
I'm in the zone. Set me free. You need your space. I
Government, politics, celebrity entertainment, music news. Tune into the Carlotta Chadwick Show right here on Block Talk Radio.
What's up, y'all? It is a late night. I am here talking about Hot Topics Saturday. I'm trying to get y'all Hot Topics in, okay? I know I said I was going to be doing less of these shows, but then I keep changing my mind. You know how I be doing, okay? It might be less later on, okay? But, you know. It is what it is right now, okay? All right, that was Maxwell and Off, okay? Maxwell, what's he at, like Norfolk or something tonight? I saw some of the video. Yeah, my aunt, it was so funny because my aunt was like, are you going to see him at the in New Orleans at the Classic? And I was like, no. But then I did, so I looked and I said, well, maybe should I try to make that trip? Because I thought about it because it was like, I was like, dang it. So, you know, it's right after I have something big going on with me. And I was like, man, maybe I should go, you know, to lighten the load and lighten my energy, you know, after that time or something like that. So who knows? I don't know. Okay. And then my friend's like, are you seriously not going on the? I said, no, I've made that decision. Okay. I think. So, no, yeah, right now for the cruise, it's a no for me. But, yeah. But they're doing more advertising of it. I'm seeing a lot more now, okay, the cruise, okay? Let me tell you what would probably be smart. More advertising is good, but, you know, it'd be cool to neatly see you do live talking to each person that's going to be on your cruise. That's my personal opinion, okay? I mean, if Maxwell, somebody know Maxwell, let them know. You know, get people hyped about it. I mean, it seems like it's, you know, selling well, okay? So, in spite of, you know what, y'all know, okay? All right, so let's talk about more news out there. Let's talk about Idina Menzel talking about her interracial relationship with Taye Diggs played a large part in the pair's divorce, okay? This is according to TheMessenger.com. It says, a Tony Award-winning actress opened up to Jesse Tyler Ferguson about how race impacted her former marriage to fellow actor Taye Diggs. It's been nearly a decade since former Broadway power couple Idina Menzel and Taye Diggs first separated after 10 years of marriage, and Menzel recently opened up about the more complex reasons for the pair going their respective ways. The thing that came into play more, I would say, and Taye has talked about it too, is the interracial aspect of it. Menzel told Friends told friend and colleague Jesse Tyler Ferguson over a candid conversation in a meal on the Modern Family Stars podcast, Dinner on Me. The actors first met while working on Rent, which debuted in Broadway in 1995 and were married in 2003. The Frozen star went on to explain that the differences in race, ethnicity, and sexual orientation didn't have an impact within their theater cohort. We all love each other and sleep with each other, as she put it, adding that things changed drastically out in public, away from a tight-knit, inclusive space. Tay was on the cover of Essence and Ebony and being interviewed by all of these black journalists. And I think he had his own stuff to deal with that, Menzel shared. And it seemed like there was some disappointment in the community with him because he was married to a little white Jewish girl. And so I took on that, too. Diggs and Menzel were burgeoning the stories. Okay, let me just say this. The community didn't give you that much. You know, the community is not responsible for your divorce. I mean, I don't think that's what she was saying, but it sounded kind of like that's what she was saying. What I think happens in a lot of these interracial relationships, first of all, let me just say this. I do believe what we see in Hollywood a lot of times. A lot of black people sometimes get discouraged and talk about, when they in Hollywood, they always picking white girls. Or when they ain't singing, they always picking white women or white men or whatever. I do believe there's a psychological lean towards how Hollywood picks talent. Doesn't mean these people are very talented. They're not very talented. But I think also Hollywood preys on idealism, weakness, the weak. I do believe that. Some people are strong in their, and disciplined in their talent, but they may not be strong in their mindset regarding race, regarding how they show up in the world. They may be confident in creative exploits and talent, but not confident in how they see themselves, how they understand themselves, you know, as humans on the planet and their experience, right? Tay Diggs, this is what I think happened. This is Carlotta 101's theory to me that happens with a lot of these men who marry interracially. And like she said, they were in the close confines of the theater group. I think that a lot of times, not all the time, and I'm not saying this is going on with Tay Diggs, but it could have been. Black people in America, especially in America, if you grew up black in America, in black traditional America, race has hit our people hard. America was one of the most racist, yet had a lot of opportunity country on earth, okay, in terms of how black Americans were treated throughout the civil rights era, after 1865, after Emancipation Proclamation, failed Reconstruction, separate water fountains and segregation in the South, to how we viewed ourselves, how race was handled on plantations in America with colorism, so many things going on. There is a lot of black rage, black mental issues, right? When you've been under that kind of racial energy, and that's like nowhere else in the world. I mean, you know, there's other places that are racist and they have similarities and stuff like that, but America had its own special pot of how they handled slavery and chattel slavery and the emotional abuse that was done, right? So not that it wasn't that going on over the world, but America was different, okay? And, I mean, we tend to see that in the story of America, you know? So you will have a lot of people who will not, like, grew up in certain areas where they may be racially in denial and not dealing with the hurt that race has done. So a lot of times you may have black men who don't understand, like, oh, I have a preference for white women. But maybe there is a reason for that preference. Maybe that preference is because you've been racially damaged. How you see black women, how you see your black mama, how you see the black women in your life. Has society, a racist society, shaped how you see women, black women of color? Has it made you bitter? Has your mama made you bitter? You get what I'm saying? And so when you come outside that, when he came outside that world and he gets confronted with those questions about, well, you know, what made you decide to date interracial and stuff like that, and has he probably found himself at a tug of war in his own self with those questions because he hadn't asked those questions before he married her, then that's probably where the damage was done. Because what she probably didn't realize is that she might have been dealing with somebody who racism in America had made sick. You know, I always say when you have an interracial couple, you have to, it's just like, even when you have two black people or stuff like that, you have to really have a discussion about psyche. And you always have to do, even in marriages, because sometimes, you know, people outgrow each other, some marriages and stuff, but always understanding, what is your motive? Why are you doing, why did you marry? Because a lot of times, well, I remember I was in college and there was this white girl, she was trying to, she kept trying to hang around the black girls or stuff like that. And I was like, this shouldn't be you. And she was really trying to hang with me. And I was like, this is strange. Why is she always going to hang with me? So one day, me and my girlfriends went up to her room, her dorm room, and she had a picture of one. She had just a bunch of pictures of black guys on the floor. So I already just knew. I said, so she's trying to hang with us. And we away, she give me black dudes. Okay. So I was already peeping game. But it was something she said during the course. All my friends were going, oh, who is this? Because the guy on this wall, he was very good looking. And all my friends were like, he's fine, you know, and all this stuff. She said, oh, he doesn't like black girls. All he dates is white girls. And they were like, what? You know, my friends and stuff like that. But me, I'm like, I said, so wait a minute. I said, who is that to you? And she said, he's one of my best friends. I said, interesting. I said, so you have a lot of friends that are black girls, right? And she's like, yeah. And I said, so you find it okay that he doesn't like black women? And she was like, I don't know what you mean. I mean, I can't choose who he likes. I'm like, yeah, but he's racially prejudiced against his own women, and you find that not to be a problem. And yet here you are trying to hang with black girls again. Right? I mean, do you not see that as a problem? I don't understand what you're saying. That's what you're saying to me. I don't understand what you're saying. I said, and how many times does he talk about black women around you? She said, I mean, I don't know what you mean. I said, I mean, when he's discussing with you why he doesn't like black, well, he says he doesn't like black girls because of the way they act, because of this and that. And I said, and what do you do to combat that? She's like, well, I really don't know. He's from that group. I said, but you got white friends. As a matter of fact, you got black girlfriends. As a matter of fact, you hang around black girls right now. So a lot of my friends are like, Key, oh man, you're going so hard on her. Don't be so. I said, nah, because I'm really wanting to know what's up. She think it's cute. Yeah, she best friends with a dude that don't even like his own people. And she don't feel like it's a question, but yes, she want to hang around y'all. So I said, it was nice talking. It was nice knowing you. I never talked to that girl again on campus. My friends can tell you. And later on, my friends saw her too. So she's just trying to hang around with us. I said, well, you should have known that, because she's friends with a person. Said she was best friends with a guy who's a black man who disrespected, who did not like black women. And how can he be friends with somebody who's black and who got self-hatred and stereotypes? Like, you don't want, most people who healthy don't want to be friends with people who got a lot of self-hate. Like, if I had a white guy friend and he just tell me he hate white women, I'd be like, that's strange. Why do you hate white women? Like, that's self-hate to me. Like, what's the deal with that? What's wrong with that? You ain't met every white woman. You know what I'm saying? So to me, that's the red flags in friendship. How am I going to be friends with them? I got friends that's white women. I don't get you. Right? So to me, I feel like a lot of times people will marry people with these self-hating energy, and these women will feel sometimes that they're better than, oh, well, he doesn't like black girls. He dated, but, you know, and it'll make you feel like that's a flex. you'll marry this man, knowing he don't like his kind, knowing he got racial probably issues and problems. Yet you say, well, I don't really have anything to do with it. I mean, he does like white women, but he doesn't seem to like his own kind. Well, I would have seen that as an issue. If I was dating a white man who didn't like white women, I'd be like, well, what is your problem? You got a fetish or is something going on with you? Is something wrong? So they don't ask these questions. And so a lot of times is what you'll have is you're not realizing you're married to somebody who has issues. Mental issues. Like I talked about Meghan Markle. And I said, I think Harry didn't realize black rage and race rage and what's going on with Meghan and how Meghan sees the world racially and things like that. You don't know, understand how much race damage can happen in America. It's like even when, black women, I remember black women got mad at Wesley Snipes for dating white women. They got mad at, who else is it? Michael Ealy for hiding the Arab girl he was dating. I mean, because black women feel like, whoa, like, were you playing us? Or like when they think of Maxwell was dating a white girl, Poop was hot. Y'all was hot. That's one of my favorite times. I always talk about that. But because there is so much rage around race, you know, race in America and how we see things and how we explore things. And I think sometimes when you date outside your race, that the one thing you have to explore is stereotypes and race. Do you like this person for this person? Or do you like this person because you have a fetish or you develop some sort of self-hate energy? Or you'd be surprised. Like, I've heard people say stuff like, I like white men because I want to have a yellow baby. Or I want a mixed baby. I don't want a baby that looks like, it's crazy shit. It's people that are so psychologically damaged from race. And you see it a lot in the diaspora, too. Very interesting. I just say that when you have, if you're a person who's dating somebody of the other race, of another race, it is your duty, in my opinion, to explore why they've chosen you and recognizing, are you a pattern? Are you a fetish? Is this somebody who has self-hate problems? And I want to, because it'll come out in your marriage. And that, to me, is personally why Taye Diggs did not stay with his wife, because what was happening is those questions that he hadn't asked himself and she hadn't asked him had come and made him start questioning, where is race? Where do I fit in? Should I be married to, I mean, you know, a black woman? How do I feel about black women? Probably all those things in your head, you're struggling. Am I a sellout? Am I this and that? Those are inner thoughts and inner things. And maybe probably because they did not explore those things. And she kind of said that because they were in a theater kind of thing and they were, you know, exploring the road of Broadway, which is, probably presented racial dynamics that she didn't notice, but he did and just probably ignored, you know. So I say that it's your duty. Even when you're dating someone in the diaspora, I even say this. If you're a black person, you two black people dating and you're from, one person's from Jamaica or they family's from Jamaica and you from Haiti, okay? You need to explore each other's background. Is there a respect and an affinity for, does this person have a respect and affinity for where you come from your people or your people's background and stuff like that? Do you understand, or do they understand you? If you're a black American, you dating someone outside, even black American, hey, do you understand what Black America is? Do you respect Black America as a group, you know, or do you respect Afro-Latinos as a group? You know what I'm saying? So you have to ask all those questions because those are questions, because you're dealing with people with different experiences, raised by different people in different households. And black, when you marry to black and black people, you have to talk about differences and stuff, black Americans or something like that. But you definitely have to do, when we're talking about race, we're talking about the diaspora, any of those things, where things are very different, okay? And you don't fear generality and culture and stuff like that. So that was very interesting, I thought. Very interesting that she talked about that, okay? What's next we're going to talk about? Will Smith and J-Lo, okay? Will Smith must show up this week. And Will was like, I'm going to support Jada. Okay. Will is unbothered. Will is showing up to support Jada in her book. And remember, I told y'all that Will was there when Jada was opening up her book. Okay, so so it's gonna be interesting. Let me see. Let me try to put this here. You'll see. Try to pull it up. So all y'all hoopla about Will and feeling bad. Will likes this woman. Okay. I'm just telling y'all how it is. I've been telling y'all this for the longest. Y'all ain't believed me. I've been telling y'all what Jada is, why he like her, why he feel like he just get it. Okay, but this is according from E. This is from E. E News is saying entertainment news. It says ever since Jada Smith kicked out the publicity tour for her new memoir, Worthy, last week, the public has been learning a lot about her marriage to Will Smith, namely that the couple separated in 2016. But in some ways, it seems their current relationship is as strong as ever, which the two affirmed Wednesday night by appearing together at a hometown book event for Pinkett Smith. Though Smith had jokingly posted an official statement to Instagram that morning, he clearly had more to say. I just really want to come out and just be here and hold it down for you the way you have held it down for me, and I believe that. Okay. Smith told his wife before a packed crowd at the Enoch Pratt Free Library in Baltimore, according to the Baltimore Sun. We have had a very, very long and tumultuous relationship. We call it brutiful. It was brutal and beautiful at the same time. Several members of the extended Smith family were also in attendance, including Pinkett Smith's mother, Adrienne Banfield North, and her two children, Jada and Willow, plus Trey Smith, Will's son, from a previous relationship with Cherie Zampino. So Cherie was there, who was also on hand. Okay, these people all know what Jada's about. Everybody know what Jada is up in that family, and everybody could be. So you know what, leave these people alone, okay? You see, Jada just telling her truth, okay? It says the event was mostly billed as a talk back between Pinkett Smith and CNN legal analyst Lauren Coates about the book. During their discussion, Pinkett Smith seemed to affirm that she and her husband are no longer separated. Will and me are good, Pinkett Smith told Coates on stage. All the people who don't understand and got something to say are just going to have to fall in line. The truth of the matter is I'm not leaving Will's side and he's not going to leave mine. We've been on a powerful quest, and I'm happier than I've ever been. Okay, so they back together, okay? Leave the people alone, okay? They trying to make it work, okay? They just telling y'all all they dirt. I see what's going on a little bit. It's a cleansing so they can try back in a new space, okay? They trying to have a cleansing, a come-to-Jesus meeting, okay? They out here now. They out here doing the most. Okay, so Jada's just having a cleansing because her and Will back together. So y'all want to, y'all can stop calling them swingers because they trying to tell you just a little bit about them days. So, yes, we were doing some wild stuff, but, you know, not in my regulation, as they were saying. It wasn't wild to me. But they here to tell you they was participating probably in some stuff that was wild back in those days, okay? Hey, a lot more. They might have been the original, allegedly, T.I. and Tiny. I didn't say about T.I. and Tiny. That's what y'all been saying in these streets. Will Smith and Jada might have been the original T.I. and Tiny. Leave the people alone. Leave Jada alone, okay? Jada understand what they understand perfectly what it is, okay? These people supporting and getting that money from that book. They on some money stuff. They on a whole nother vibe, okay? Now let's talk about, because y'all was talking about the kids is embarrassed. They don't look embarrassed to me. Let's talk about. Let's see. Look at it up. We talked about Will. Okay, y'all. Trying to pull up the new. Look at this. This is Meryl Streep right now. Now, let's talk about this first, okay? Tyrese's ex-wife regrets filing for divorce. This is according to RonaldSmith.com. 3 years ago, Samantha Lee filed for divorce from R&B singer Tyrese Gibson after 3 years of marriage and one child together. Samantha admits she had the wrong people in her ear and regrets ending her marriage the way she did. Interesting. Okay. Let's hear you, squat. What are you talking about? What you out here doing? Let's see this one. Let's talk about this, okay? Let's see what she's talking about. Okay, now this is her on the Players Club 01, okay? Let's see if we can listen.
What happened to Quick? Nah, I got it.
Okay, I think I got it. Got the wrong thing up. Okay, let's see here.
I don't know who she became. I realized that this was a woman that was very simple. Celebrities, I don't need to live, be around. I'm a simple girl. Now you want $20,000 a month for a one-year-old. Now you've hired 3 law firms. Try and knock my motherfucking head off. I did nothing to you to create that. Like, you should be able to say physical vibe that made you.
Okay, that's Tyrese. Let's see if we can get this other part here. Tyrese. And that was according to RonaldSmith.com here. Let's see, where's the world?
I don't know who she is. I don't know who she became. I realized that this was a woman that was...
You're going to try to get the video up with Samantha talking.
I would, if it was me talking to me in that moment, I'd be like, no, don't do this. Do you see how you're reacting to this? Like, you're so emotional. I can tell you don't have peace about this. Like, I know that this is not where you're supposed to be right now. Like, you give it time, be more patient, like, wait till the death of, I definitely would have told me in that moment, no.
Got it.
Lawyers, court systems win. And then, no, families don't win in divorce.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
Lawyers win. They win. Families don't win. You don't win when a family is broken apart. I think Jay-Z said this, he's like, nobody wins in the family feud.
Yeah.
Nobody. It's not a situation where somebody is a winner. But you basically stay in it when you get lawyers involved. And, there was a therapist that was speaking to both me and him, a marital therapist at the time, that when I told him my decision, he was like, you know, when you get lawyers involved, it gets ugly. He told me that. And, you know, I didn't even realize, I don't think I even realized how ugly it would get. Well, in my ear at that time, it would not have made that decision. No. I wouldn't. And that's the truth. I try my very best at this point in my life to be what I didn't have in that moment. Because I think that I was, and women were like, I'm an extremely emotional person. People that know me know that about me. I'm the kind of person that like, okay, and I can ruminate. I can get so lost in my thoughts. I know a lot of women are like that. Like we're a lot, not all of us, right? But some of us are. Just like a lot of men can be like that. But I know women specifically, I'm ready to be done. I'm ready to be done. I'm ready to be done. I can't stand this. You don't do this. You don't do that. Blah, 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 blah. We're focusing on these things. And because you don't have a certain person in your life to say, to check you and say, sis, what about this? What about this? What about these strengths? What about what he's not doing? What if, like, those types of things. That can get you thinking about the positive aspects of the person that you may not be thinking about when you're upset. You're only thinking about what you're mad about. You're not thinking about all the other positive aspects of this person. And so in those moments, you need somebody to be the person for that person.
Yeah.
In those moments.
Okay. Listen. Oh, Jesus. Okay. Wow. Very interesting. First of all, to hear what Tyrese says, that when you meet, he met her in a $12 dress and wasn't interested in sundresses. No, Tyrese, you should have got a Synastry chart. Meeting a Scorpio in a $12 dress means nothing. It means this. Listen, let me just say this, okay? Scorpio women always like a sense of power. That's not, you know, that's just my personal opinion. She was attracted to you probably a little bit because you're Tyrese. That doesn't mean that that's the only thing she likes, but Scorpio women love men who love people who handle power well. Okay, it isn't a bad thing. It's our zodiac likes powerful people. Our zodiac likes power in some instances, power dynamics and stuff like that. She'd probably be in denial about this, but you know, yeah, Tyrese, it's going to change, especially when you introduce her to a lifestyle that is very good. Okay. Samantha, what do I say about this Scorpio who's had given him a cold winter? And now she seems to be changing the story. This is interesting. I have to look at her chart. what I would say probably about this, might be a lot of Libra there, no offense, but Scorpios are usually pretty sure. I have a lot of Libra in my chart, so sometimes I can be indecisive, I can be an emotional creature, but I can also be a very airy one too. And be straight logical. But usually when a scorp is done, a scorp is done. Like you, not all the time, but when we do, it is something that she must be missing. Very interesting that she says that. Now, she's also a very spiritual person. So she could be speaking, maybe she's trying to wave the peace flag at Tyrese. Okay, so this may be, it may not be, I want to get back with you, but it may be like, I understand, I'm trying to hear it from my point of view. I understand I moved too quick. I hurt your feelings and this and that. I get it. I understand you also. So she may be trying to throw out that flag as a peace flag and be like, you know, to keep him off her back, you know. I mean, Tyrese technically to me is still there and still very much likes you, Samantha, if you want to go back. This is very interesting. I would just say that did you jump off that train too soon in terms of, you know, now you're seeing, and this could be the results of being a single mother. The results is tougher for me. As she said, she would have realized somebody had somebody there to say this and that, this and that, this and that. So Samantha may be becoming more evolved as a person to understand, I shouldn't have got so much in my emotions. I need to think this aspect through before I left this Negro. You know, I should have said, realize I'm going to be parenting on my own. I'm going to be doing this on my own. I may got to put up with a lot of his BS. But was his BS really worth me leaving and getting all this backlash and stuff from it that I'm getting? It makes me think Tyrese might be right, her doing this. It makes me think that Tyrese might be right, might be like, you probably really wasn't into me. I mean, like that Tyrese, there may have been, maybe now there's a sense of guilt. Like, oh, you know, I had this baby. I tried to come out this marriage. You know, it sounds like there's a sense of guilt there. So I don't really know. That's interesting. And Scorpios can have guilt when they feel like, oh, man, you know, when we get into something and then we realize, like, we know, especially when we walk into something due to depression or something like that, and we realize, like, oh, shit, what did I do? You know what I'm saying? And then she jumped out of it, but then she's seeing how much it's hurting him, and then now she's trying to take on all that energy. Yeah, Samantha, I really, it's very interesting. Now I am looking at, I need to look at her a little bit more. Astrologers, I need y'all to pull a chart on Samantha. We need to see what's going on here. Very interesting that she said that. This is very interesting. This is a very interesting terms of events. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Very interesting. Whereas you look at Melanie, like somebody like Melanie, who's a Scorpio, with what's his name? What's his name? Who's a Capricorn also? Martell. Melanie's like, boy, bye. Ain't gonna be no coming back. So it makes me wonder, like this Scorpio and Capricorn dynamic, I may need to examine this a little bit closely. I really have to say, Samantha has me a little stumped. She was giving him the Scorpio cold winter. She was running around here preaching. I mean, I don't know. I'm wondering. This is interesting here. I can say what I really think it is, but I don't want to judge her. So I'm not going to. I'm going to leave it alone. I am leaning at Tyrese, though, a little bit now. I'm like, was Tyrese, was you flirting a little bit to get Tyrese? Like, I don't know. Like, did you appeal to Tyrese's sense of, you know, like he, you know, Tyrese being a little cheap, maybe? Maybe she does. That's why she had on the Twitter. Listen, Scorpios are very intuitive. And depends on if you got a Venus in Libra, like me, I'm a Venus in Libra, like it's custom Virgo. So I'm very intuitive, like, you know, when I meet somebody. Like, I can sense. Like, I can sometimes sense you right off. Like, I'm like, ooh. So has a woman in the dating sphere, that helps a lot because you can, I always say, like, if you see, one of my friends told me always that she always laughs, she says, runaway bride is the story of Venus and Libras, or Libras in some senses. And in the show, in the movie Runaway Bride, Julia Roberts is carrying a Libra purse. She knows she's carrying a Libra purse. And people always say that Runaway Bride is the story of a Venus and Libra because Venus and Libras can, if you notice in Runaway Bride, every man could never get her off of their head. I think Venus and Libra, who's Venus? I think Jada Pinkett's a Venus and Libra. So is Will Smith. Venus and Libra can, like in the movie, they love partnerships. So they can sometimes deny themselves who they are and cater themselves to their partner. So like Jada did Will for a number of years, she catered herself to Will's energy, and now she's coming out saying I'm tired of that, okay? But Beyonce caters herself probably a little bit to Jay-Z's energy. She's a Venus and Libra, I think, also. So Runaway Bride. In the story of Runaway Bride, if you've never seen Runaway Bride, definitely go, definitely rent it and see it. It's one of my favorite. I love Julia Roberts movies. Scorpio Girl, okay? Julia Roberts, Scorpio. Those are the kind of movies I would have shows when I was younger. I love Julia Roberts, how she chose movies and stuff. But anyway, in the Runaway Bride, this woman is a bride who she enjoys men falling in love with her. And one of the things that she does is that she knows a man. So when she meets him, she automatically caters to all the things he likes. And so when she gets to walking down the aisle, she never completes the marriage. She starts to run away because, you know, really she doesn't really know who she is. So that the movie's Runaway Bride. And so when she meets this guy whom she really falls for, this reporter, she's trying to cater to him right away, all the things he likes, because that's the Venus in Libra. Because remember, Venus is exalted in Libra. Libra and Taurus is exalted, but in two different ways, right? And Taurus is more sensual. In Libra, it's like love. Like the Venus is at home in Libra. It's like, it's really what Venus is. She's at home. She's a seducer. She's a, you know what I'm saying? All those things. So in the Runaway Bride, she's seducing. And so remember the boyfriend was talking about, every boyfriend, he was saying, by the way, what's her favorite egg? The newspaper guy, when he's writing the story on her, this Runaway Bride, he asked the guy, what's her favorite egg? And each guy has a different answer to her egg, what's her favorite eggs. Like one is saying poached egg, one saying scrambled, one saying this and that. Because with every guy, she becomes the love energy. Oh, Samantha. Are you a Venus in Libra? Are you Venus in Libra and seducing Tyrese, making him think he's just, I'm just a simple girl. Simple thoughts, just a $12 dress. I don't care about celebrity. Oh, I need to know if she's a Venus in Libra. That would explain it. That would explain it. Right? And so in the movie, he says, she remembers, she goes off to find herself, and she says, I know what my favorite age is, when she comes back to him. I know who I am now. I found myself. I'm not just finding myself in the men, in love, in these experiences. Because remember, even in the movie, if you've never seen the movie, in the movie, she's always like, all the men like her. And one of the girls, her best friends, is like, you're always flirting with everybody, like even my husband or whatever. And it's like she doesn't realize she's doing it because she's a seductress, okay? I'm a Venus in Libra myself, but I sit on the cusp because I have a lot of Virgo and Venus in Virgo. And that can be a very true thing. I can, something, even when I was younger, I used to see it a lot, how I can morph myself into, what is the sky? What's he like? You know what I'm saying? No, I'm not like that at all. I mean, I still have some very Venus and Libra traits, but when I recognize them, when I see that thing coming through, then I'll be like, oh, hold up. You know what I'm saying? So I wonder, like when he says he met this girl who wasn't at all checking for celebrity, well, that's what she told you. Because maybe she realized that that's what you were kind of looking for. But is that the truth? Because it's interesting, when she got a divorce, she didn't go into hiding if she wasn't interested in celebrity. Now she's out here, she's on the internet. She's constantly doing like a little talks and stuff like that on the internet. She's still in the entertainment part of it. So that's very interesting. I'd like to know if she's a Venus in Libra. It's interesting. Did she seduce him and make him, you know, sprinkle Libra dust? Venus dust. Oh, my God. And usually, you know, what's attracted to Venus dust, Venus and Libra dust, is Venus and Gemini. Venus and Gemini love this shit. Even though they know it's dust, they're like, this is dust. But I like this shit. I like that they cater and they shit. Right? So it's a very interesting thing. Yes, Samantha. Oh, my God. I've changed my thoughts. I've got Samantha's thrown me off with this. This is very interesting, okay? Oh, boy. I bet Tyrese is thrown off, too. But maybe that's the thing. Maybe, I don't know here. Very interesting, okay? All right, so what else we got to talk about here? Meryl Streep splits from husband after 45 years, baby. After 45 years, I'm like Will and Jada, okay? After 45 years, you can sleep on one end of the house, Joker, and I sleep on another. And we might have these open relationships out in the streets. We ain't going nowhere. You kept me here 45 years. This is according to MSN.com. It says, Meryl Streep and her husband, Don Gummer, have split after 45 years of marriage. The only murderers in the building, actress 74 and the sculptor 76, who tied the knot in 1978, were seen last together in 2018 Oscars, secretly separated more than 6 years ago. Don Gummer and Meryl Streep have been separated for more than 6 years, and while they always will care for each other, sound like Will and Jada, they have told them lives apart, a statement from the Mama Mia star confirmed. So they ain't got no divorce. They just living apart, okay? The former couple have four children, singer-songwriter Henry Will, 43, actress Mamie Gummer, 40, Grace Gummer, 37, and Louisa Jackson, 30. Interesting. And five grandchildren together. When previously asked about the secret to a long-time marriage, the Kramer versus Kramer actress told Vogue, good will and willingness to be in and to shut up every once in a while. Girl, Meryl was playing y'all. She was living like Jada. There's no roadmap on how to raise a family. It's always an enormous negotiation. But I have holistic need to work and have a huge ties of love in my life. Meryl and Don were first introduced to her brother in 1978, and they tied the knot a year later. Okay, so that's interesting. Says the wedding took place 6 months later. 6 months after the death of her boyfriend and fellow actor John Cazale, who died March 1970 following a lung cancer diagnosis. Okay, Meryl told People 1 year after his death, "The death is still very much with me. It has forced me to confront my own mortality, and once you do that, you look at things different." Interesting. So she was with somebody. That's really interesting. This is actress, women, actress, spirit announcement comes out the daughter, Grace, Mary, Mark Ronson. Okay. So this is interesting. 45 years and they decided to separate. That's a long time, okay? A long time. But it happens, okay? It happens. Some people be like, they say they ain't getting no divorce. They can live like Will and Jada. But Will and Jada saying they back together. At first they looked like they was consciously uncoupling. Or well, what did Maxwell say? I said Maxwell said, I think transitional single. I'm transitional singleness. Meryl Streep is transitionally single. That's wild. 45 years out of these streets, okay? Okay. Now, FDA, this is an interesting article. It says FDA is considering a ban on hair straightening chemicals. Stylists say black women have moved on. I don't know about that. There's still a lot of black women who get perms and relaxers and stuff like that. Now, here's the thing. I really wonder what's the studies about these relaxers. I'm not saying they don't, but it's interesting that suddenly people are saying relaxers are giving people uterine cancer. And I'm like, well, what's been going on for the last 50 to 60 years that these, a lot of these relaxers have been out here? It's interesting. Okay, so it says the U.S. Food and Administration is considering a ban on certain hair straightening chemicals that have been used by black women for years, and that research is showing. But black hairstylists say such products, specifically ones being looked at by the FDA, which contain formaldehyde and formaldehyde-releasing chemicals, have fallen out of favor, especially among younger generations. Relaxers have taken an extreme decline, and we've become more knowledgeable about the effects of the relaxer on your hair and what it can do to your hair. At Kaylee Butler, a hairstylist in Atlanta, we remember getting relaxers when she was five years old. She added, I think people just want to move away. I still do relaxers. I do my own. But when I want to. I don't do them all the time, but I do them every now and then. I want to be about my hair thick. I want to be about it. Possible would apply to both salon grade and home products, FDA spokesperson Courtney Rose said. Jasmine Celestia, who owns Jasmine Nicole Exclusive Hair Salon in Atlanta, estimated that less than 5% of her clients who are black women want relaxers. She told the Associated Press, and that's because black women have so many options now. That's why sometimes you can wear your hair braided for a long time, wigs and stuff like that, all kinds of things. So, yeah, all things that FDA needs to look into while relaxers right now. Earlier this year, U.S. Reps Ayanna Pressey in Massachusetts and Chantel Brown of Ohio asked the FDA to investigate chemical hair straighteners, pointing to a study published in 2022 from the National Institutes of Health that linked straighteners to increased risks of uterine cancer. Pressey said in an October 6th statement that FDA's possible action is a win for public health, especially the health of black women. Regardless of how we wear our hair, we should be allowed to show up in the world without putting our health at risk. The FDA posted a video Wednesday on social media reminding people that no action has been taken yet, that the agency plans to work with and encourage the cosmetic industry to develop alternative straightening products. In a study from the Boston University published this month, the journal Environmental Researchers followed nearly 45,000 black women for up to 22 years, the majority of them moderate or heavy users of relaxers. Among postmenopausal women, those who use relaxers most often had greater than 50% increased risk of uterine cancer compared to those who never or seldom use it. Black people have the highest death of cancer, according to data from the U.S. Centers for Control and Prevention. The risk for black women could shift from better regulation to chemical straighteners. I would love to hear their study a little bit more. They said, I think consideration of endocrine disruptors like cobalthase and perlins would be important, heavy metals too. This is interesting because chemical relaxers have been around longer than 22 years. And I would say, what are those other high-risk factors? When you hear studies, I always ask, what are those other high-risk factors that those women may have in common who use those hair relaxers? Is it the relax? Is it increased, are all those women maybe, is there other factors that they all have in common that could be causing that outcome? Because hair relaxers have been along a long time. Why, or have they done a study of how many women who wear hair relaxers were dying of uterine cancer? Very interesting. Hey, let's see. Let me see. trying to see when they have this. They've been around a long time. I know that. So it's very interesting how within the last 20 years they come up with that. I always question stuff like that. Not to say that it can't be a cause of uterine cancer, but sometimes maybe that group of women had other things in common, too, that may cause cancer. So interesting. I don't know, because that's the interesting thing, because people have been using chemicals forever. So, yeah, I don't know how I feel about this one. We'll keep a lookout and see what they're saying, see what they how the FDA is approaching this kind of thing, okay? And it may be just a way to get new products out there, too, on the market that are less dangerous than some of those ingredients. Let's see, what's next one I have to talk about, okay? Yeah. Trying to get all y'all. Okay, we talked about Jada. Oh, and we talked about actress Suzanne Somers passed away last week, 76, 372, star from breast cancer. Rest in power to her and her people. Suzanne Somers was one. I love 372. 372 is one of my favorite shows. I still watch 372 when it comes on late at night. And I love the original first part when Suzanne Somers was there, even though it was great afterwards. But, you know, it was just never quite the same without the Suzanne Somers bit, okay? Now, let's talk about Naomi Osaka out in these streets. Naomi Osaka hints at split from Corday in cryptic social media posts and deletes photos with rapper. Uh-oh. Why'd y'all tweet her? Not that that man made you a baby mama. Y'all stupid. The former world number one tennis player and the rapper began dating in 2019, welcomed their daughter Shay in July. Have Naomi Osaka and Corday called it quits? The 26-year-old tennis star posted cryptic messages on X, formerly known as Twitter, Tuesday and scrubbed her Instagram of any mention of the rapper, sparking speculation that she's ended her relationship with Corday after 4 years together. Osaka, who does not currently follow the Doomsday rapper on Instagram, shared two posts on X that seemed to hint at trouble in paradise. The Art of Loving Yourself, Osaka wrote in a post on X on September 27th, and then on Tuesday, one day after she celebrated her birthday, the former world number one said, "I just want someone that will watch the somewhat set with me," in another post. Corday was noticeably absent from photos Osaka shared on her birthday. "Big Libra vibe," she wrote in the caption of a series solo shots of the tennis star as she celebrated another trip around the sun. Okay, She put in January, Osaka revealed that she was pregnant and she couldn't wait to get back in court. Child, that baby's going to forever sit. I mean, you know, I don't doubt that she can get back out there. I don't even doubt that she can reach number one. I'm just saying, look at the delay, okay? Hailey Bailey. Look at Naomi Osaka. That's all I got to say. You know, I do like that song by Corday. What's that song? She say she loved me. She loved me not. She ain't got no damn clue about what she wants. Bitch, make up your mind. Figure it out. That's the song. I love that. That's my little ratchet. Oh, my little ratchet workout. So I'm going to tell your friends about to put both hands on it. I'm using some ratchet stuff, okay? I love this one. Hop in this car. Listen, he keep on stressing the Bali and ecstasy. What's their name? Whatever. What's it say? He say she love me. She love me not. She ain't got no damn clue about what she has for fun. Corday, I say, oh, that's Naomi Osaka's boyfriend. Cute. Now, DDG, I ain't heard no songs about him. But I say, Corday, I like that song. Ooh, now she said, she now this girl, she done had this baby. Now she up here talking, I just want somebody to watch the sunset with. Lord have mercy. Deleting photos, child. A mess. A mess. Okay. Good luck, Naomi. Cardi B says she's scrapping new album after argument with Twitter trolls. Girl, you ain't, girl, that ain't the reason you scrapping new album. This is according to Hotel Hot News HipHop.com. Overnight, Cardi B's Twitter feed erupted after she shared a snippet. This happened a minute ago, maybe about a week ago. Snippet of new music. She faced mixed reactions to the new music online. But what seemed to upset her even more was the questioning of her work ethic. It's been 5 years since she released her debut album, Invasion of Privacy. While she spent a lot of time teasing towards a follow-up, nothing solid has ever materialized. Earlier this year, she confirmed to fans that she did have a new album on the way, but it wouldn't be released until 2024, okay? Now, after her work ethic was criticized online, she went off on some fans. That included a number of serious moments, even wishing death on some people. Ultimately, it concluded with Cardi claiming that there was no album anymore. Fans took issue with her declaration, claiming that it was not the trolls. It was what the trolls wanted. It ended up hurting her most diehard fans. Eventually, she deleted almost every tweet she made throughout the night, and it's unclear where the status of her new album stands. I don't want to do music. There's no album. I just want to put out a B, let it in my head. Cardi B says, in a series of deleted tweets to fans who had mixed reactions to the music she shared. Okay, listen, let me just say this, okay? Cardi B's another one, okay? There's a couple of things going on here, Libra. And I think because, you know, first of all, sophomore albums are scary, okay? Especially when you've had such a hit with the song she had before. But also Cardi B in the midst and the height of her career, okay? And we can't deny this, Cardi. We have to talk about this. In the height of your career, she's about to go on tour with Bruno Mars. She got a hot song with Bruno, Tease Me, Baby, Turn Around and Just Look. What's her song, Use Me, Baby? What? She looked like it was all going up. And what happened? She got pregnant. No offense, babies are a blessing. I'm glad, I know she's glad she got her baby, okay? But that took some steps back and some years off, okay? Also, then she had another baby. And then she's married, and she's having problems in that marriage. She was, allegedly. And then you had the whole Tasha K thing, okay? So here's what I feel really about Cardi. Just need peace. I think at this point, Cardi's making a lot of excuses. You have to quit. First of all, Tasha K, I feel like you got to quit chasing the Tasha K bag. I know your lawyers are doing it, but it's energy attached onto you. Whatever that anger, I'm going to drain her, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. It's like sometimes you got to let it go so there can be a sense of flow in your life, a sense of energy. Like, this is blocking me up. It's keeping me stuck. These children running around here, my lawyers. I'm spending money on lawyers, trying to look for her money, trying to look for where she at. Sometimes you got to let life take care of things. And you got to quit. I would just forgive that because I want a sense of, like, you know, I can't keep this going in my life. Keep chasing and keep confronting this $4 million because I feel like it's also in your work because you got so much money going to looking for her, looking for the money that she has, and hoping that you can get this $4 million. I don't know if you think you'll ever get it or not, but even if you just think maybe it sets you back in how you work. Maybe if you forgive that, you say, hey, I'm forgiving it. I ain't expecting to never get it back, or I'm going to settle for a much smaller price with her, and I'm going to go on with my life. Maybe there's a little fear, Libra, because she's a Libra, in doing that. Maybe the fear is then I won't have any excuse. why this album is not that out. The fact that maybe I'm just scared to put a new album out because I've made some decisions that's kind of set me back in my musical career. I've done great features, but am I ready to hear, is this, there's a lot of new artists out since I've been out. There's a lot of different things. Do I still work out here? You need to get some rest and balance the scales, Cardi. What's important? Even Offset, you know, hey, glad you got your album, but now it's time for me to buckle down and work on my shit, work on my album. They right. Maybe my work ethic, I haven't realized that certain things may have been draining my energy, causing me to slip in certain ways. So my personal opinion is that Cardi B may not realize that how that, all that energy, all the things that's happening around her, the things that she pays attention to online, all this stuff, all these things that she's creating around her to keep from confronting the thing that she needs to do, which is make the next album or get the next album out there or whatever. But she has so many, well, from when I see Cardi, I see so many blockages around her, just tons of them. And I think sometimes you got to release things. Libras are great at being balanced, and sometimes you might have to say to Tasha K, hey, I'll sell it with you for $1 million, or I'll sell for you for $500,000 or $200,000. Don't talk shit no more. I'm going to sue you again. You know what I'm saying? I think the lesson is learned. But I wouldn't keep chasing the bag. That's a blockage. And having lawyers, because that's spending a bunch of money on lawyers. Ain't nobody winning but the lawyers, okay? Next thing is quit chasing the trolls online and stuff. You know, maybe, and sometimes it may be good for artists like that because they get to hear what people are thinking of them out there, and maybe they're making a good point. Maybe you need to focus more on bringing out the music and getting your album done and not being afraid to release it, okay? And that's what I think of Cardi B. That's just my straight-up truth about her, okay? I just think that she's out of whack. She's focused on, in my personal opinion, things that may not be that important and where she needs to be focused on putting that album out. And or even if she needs to go back and rechange some things on the album or redo some things, then it is what it is. Yeah, do what you got to do. Hey, but to me, it's just too much attention being paid to things that aren't important. Just my personal opinion, okay? Just my personal opinion. I could be totally wrong, okay? What's next? Do I have for y'all what I have for y'all? Okay. Is that the last story, my Cardi B story? I don't even want to talk about Blueface claiming he hooked up with Megan Thee Stallion. Child. Child, that's a lot, okay? Blueface is a lot. I'm not going to even discuss Blueface, okay? Blueface is wild out here. It's too much going on with Blueface, okay? Listen, we have come to the end of the show. We're going to get off a little early tonight. Oh, look at this. Look at this. Look at me. You're now about 20 minutes early. Okay, you guys, listen, I hope you enjoyed the show tonight. I appreciate y'all so much. Thank you for listening. Remember, you can hit me up because I'm not coming back on to say if you're listening to the sound of my voice, you're listening to the archive show. So I'm going to say it right now. You can hit me up on the Carlotta Chatworth Facebook page. You can hit me up on C Chatworth Show on X and Carlotta 72 on X. You can also hit me up on Instagram at Carly's_Galaxy, the Carlotta Chatworth Facebook page on Facebook, and on TikTok, I think it's under Carlotta now, Carlotta, I don't know, child, just, what is it under on TikTok, child, be paying no attention, I be having me, Let me look at it. I think on TikTok.
So the fourth month is Scorpio. Scorpios are known to be very competitive and see everyone.
Okay, I'm listening to something on Scorpios. Okay. Yeah, sorry I heard that. Okay, it is under Carlotta C, okay? So you can follow me on TikTok with that, okay? And Chad, I don't know on Threads. You're going to have to on Threads. You're going to have to go over there and you're going to have to hit Instagram, the link to the on Instagram the Threads. Okay, God, this is crazy, really crazy. Oh, my God, I can get this. I'm getting old, okay? I'd be like, I don't know what's what, all right? So you guys have a wonderful, wonderful rest. Start to your weekend, your Sunday. Enjoy your Sunday. I hope your week is you have a very good week. Next week sometime I'm going to share with you guys something very powerful that has happened to me the last few weeks. And I'm hoping that it encourages you guys and it helps someone, because I'm going on this new journey in my life and I never expected it. I was like, what? When I heard it, I was like, huh? But it's so funny because a week before having the news of this thing or whatever, I kind of felt it. But, you know, I was like, but when I hear it, so it's been a very emotional journey, and I can't wait for you to share with you guys what that is. But trust me, I still need the prayers and love out there. I can take it right now, okay? You know, I've been getting so much encouragement from friends and people and everything. So I am hey, I'm good. I always say to people, God don't give you no more than you can handle, okay? So I trust that God got me. So, you guys, we're going to have this discussion. I will have this discussion coming up this week. So I will be on the lookout for the podcast. And I may have a live where I talk to you guys about it. It may be sometime during the week or it may be Saturday, okay? So, again, thank you guys for hanging out and listening with me. You guys have a wonderful wonderful week. Let's leave out with, oh my goodness, I had a song that I wanted to leave out with, and I forgot what it was. I'm a mess, y'all. I'll be up here. Let's see. What is it? Where is it at? I think I had it up. Okay, Jamiroquai. Two completely different things. I love this song. It is the CC Show. Thank you, guys. Have a good one. See ya.